Our text is taken this morning from three passages of Scripture. Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 through 13. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4. And 1 John chapter 3, verses 11 and 12. Genesis chapter 4 then. And Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock, and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother. And it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother, and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, My punishment is greater than I can bear. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 4. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by the which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. 1 John chapter 3, verses 11 and 12. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. The subject before us this morning is one which I approached at our church family camp this last Wednesday evening, taking some observations from memory. This morning, lessons from the life of Cain and Abel, with emphasis given to the religion of Cain. The first observation, mothers and fathers can certainly identify with. Parents want and expect the best for their children. Eve said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. Cain was the first human being ever born into the human race. He must have seemed at his birth
and in his infancy a promising child. The word Cain means acquired. They saw this beautiful baby boy, and Eve and perhaps Adam thought, maybe this would be the seed of the woman and their future deliverer. However, and I say evidently, their hopes were greatly disappointed. It did not take long for Cain's true nature to be manifest. As I say to the children in some of the children's sermons, when cats have babies, they're kittens. When dogs have babies, they're puppies. And when sinners have babies, they are sinners. Where is the first hint in the Word of God we have to this? At the birth of Abel. Cain means acquired. What does Abel mean? Chavel, the Hebrew, means vapor, breath, vanity. Evidently, they realized their sons were sinners. The parents, expecting and hoping for the best, had to come to the realization that they had given birth to sinners. And that is evidenced in the naming of Habel, Abel, as we call him in English. How older Cain was than Abel, we do not know. Perhaps by several years, long enough for his nature to be made known and to evidence the great disappointment of his parents. We note in the second place that children may grow up and turn in different directions. Cain was a tiller of the ground. He was a farmer. Abel was a shepherd. These are not right or wrong in and of themselves. They are simply the issues of life. What is important is an individual's relationship to God. We are individuals, and we are responsible, especially in our growing years, both to God and to our parents. And reading between the lines, we suggest that Adam and Eve did much to bring their sons up in the ways of God. God had established the principle of blood sacrifice when he killed innocent animals and took their skins and made coverings for Adam and Eve. The word in the Hebrew means to fully clothe. He fully clothed Adam and Eve. They had bare loincloths made of fig leaves until that time. God fully clothed them. And with the death of an innocent animal, to provide a covering for sin, God initiated the principle of blood atonement. Together with this, God established both a time and a place for worship. And that is extremely significant, not only for Adam and Eve, but for us. We read of the word brought. It came to pass in the process of time, or literally from the Hebrew, at the end of the days. This could refer to the day of rest. It could refer to a Sabbath offering. Or it could refer to the end of harvest. A culmination of time when God was to be acknowledged. God had ordained a place where they would meet Him. They brought unto the Lord. their offerings, and also a time at the end of the days. No doubt they learned this from their parents. Adam and Eve, despite their fallen condition, their initial failure and tragedy in bringing sinfulness into the human race, evidently did much in the lives of their sons to teach them where to meet God and the time when God was to be acknowledged in their offerings. Have you ever thought about this with regard to Adam and Eve, or to your own parental responsibility? Much to consider here, is there not? Now God accepted Abel's offering, blood sacrifice, the firstlings of the flock. He offered one or more lambs with the fat thereof. God accepted his offerings. He refused the offering of Cain. We ask why. Did not Cain work hard to produce these fruits? Perhaps harder and evidently with more difficulty than Abel. I picture him early in the morning pulling the weeds out of his garden, keeping the animals away, offering unto God the very best of the fruits of the land. Was he sincere? And yet, his offering was rejected. I asked the children in my last children's sermon, give me three reasons why Cain's offering was refused and Abel's was accepted. And of course, there were adults in attendance. And then when the children failed after one or two things, I asked the adults. Cain's offering was offered in defiance of God's revealed will. God had established the principle of blood sacrifice. Cain defied that. We are told that he was motivated by the wicked one. Second, he did not offer blood sacrifice, but the works of his hands. You accept what I've done. No thought of grace. And third, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. His religion had no faith. These things are greatly significant when we consider the religion of Cain. Why was Cain so stubborn and disobedient? We are told that he was motivated and led by the wicked one. And the wicked one was at work to destroy true religion from the human race. I enjoy preaching to the children. I enjoy discussing things with them in this context. And I ask them, does the devil ever take a vacation? And we finally came to the conclusion, no, he does not. He has too much enjoyment in his work. What a simple thing it was to seduce Cain. He was successful, the first human being ever born upon the face of the earth. And he was of the wicked one. He will do all that he can to destroy and to nullify the promise of God and the seed of the woman. Cain's sacrifice was not accepted. So we are told he became very wroth. The Hebrew word, chara, is one of the strongest words imaginable for anger. It means to burn with rage. He burned with rage. There was murder in his heart. So let us look at the religion of Cain. Anger is dangerous, and religious anger is the most dangerous of all. The religion of Cain. First, it was a religion which demanded much by way of works. Have you ever met and talked to the Jehovah's Witnesses, so-called? They believe they are working their way to salvation. And oftentimes, by their efforts, they put Christians to shame. Always working, always evangelizing. That was Cain. Cain is the prototype of the cultist. In fact, he becomes, as we shall see, the prototype of everything that is anti-Christ. Cain's religion was a religion of mere outward rite and ritual and ceremony that never affected the heart or the soul. Is that significant? The vast majority of Christendom, or those who profess Christianity, are the offspring of Cain. We see the Church of Rome from the 3rd century onward, down to and through and beyond the time of Reformation. Rites, rituals, ceremonies, never affecting the heart, never affecting the mind, never changing the life, but putting to death 50 million of God's people over the centuries in the name of Christ, in the name of religion. Cain is the prototype of a graceless religion that will take and destroy human life in the name of God and Christ. His heart was never changed. Further, it was a religion without faith. And we sadly must say that our churches are filled with Canaanites, with the offspring of Cain, that have made a momentary religious decision, but continue in a graceless lifestyle, a nominal professing Christian, without faith, without heavenly motivation, without lives being governed by the Word of God. Cain's religion was a religion exercised in open disobedience to the nature and Word of God. God said, I demand blood sacrifice, an innocent substitute to cover your sin. Cain said, you'll take what I give you and you'll receive it. It was the religion of free will. Have you studied free will? We do not mean option. We do not mean man's volition that he's a free moral agent. We mean the philosophical concept of free will that a man can consistently choose and act contrary to his governing nature. It is so great, even from evangelical pulpits, that free will stands in defiance of God's eternal purpose. And God can do all that He can to save the sinner. But the sinner's free will cancels out the immutable sovereign of this universe, and God is rendered helpless before it. To put it in very crass language, Cain said to God, you take what I give you and you be happy with it. You accept it. He was of the evil one, the wicked one. that motivated him to murder his brother. It was further a religion which spurned the grace of God. Cain became very wroth, and his countenance was fallen. He was at that point out of control. He was governed entirely by his emotions. He was reduced to the state of irrationality. And what does God do? He said, "Why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? Go and get a lamb and offer it." That's grace. That's mercy. Cain evidently refuses. You see, with Cain, the first working, the astonishing grace of God. If thou doest well, wilt thou not be accepted? He refused. Cain's religion was a religion which justified self-righteous rage. We must beware not to be overzealous when our emotions rise above our thinking. And now it was a religion which justified murder. Cain murdered Abel. This is the final result of religious, self-righteous anger and hatred. Who are the most instructed people in our Lord's day in the Scriptures? The scribes and the Pharisees. Who gave up our Lord to be crucified by the Roman government? The scribes and the Pharisees. They had been plotting His murder for years. They did it in the name of God. They did it in the name of orthodoxy. They were the followers of Cain. Yes, religion, even the truth of the Scriptures, can become so perverted in men's minds and hearts that they will justify murder. Are you students of church history? Have you read of our Anabaptist and Baptist forefathers? Murdered by the hundreds of thousands by the Church of Rome, the state church, and murdered by unspeakable multitudes by the reformers? Every reformer was guilty of the blood of God's people. A state church is by its very nature a persecuting church. And you cannot have a persecuting state church, an infant sprinkling, without imprisoning, beating, and in the case of history, killing those who oppose you, namely the Anabaptist and Baptist that we count as our forefathers. The followers of Cain have been more numerous than God's elect people. Cain is the prototype of all of these. The first human blood ever shed was shed in religious persecution. Abel, the second man, the second human being ever to be born in the human race, was murdered by the first person ever born in the human race, his elder brother. And he was murdered because of religion. Because his own works were righteous and his brother's works were evil. The religion of Cain. Yet again, his religion was completely self-centered and self-serving. It was a religion which stood contrary to God's Word. Paul tells us in Romans chapter 2 that we are the image bearers of God, and that the works of the law are indelibly inscribed upon man's inner being at creation. Where is Abel thy brother? I do not know. He blatantly lied in the face of God. Am I my brother's keeper? Yes. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The principle of God's law, indelibly embedded, ontological, in man's nature, makes him a responsible moral being. And he set that aside in the name of religion. Yet again, it was a religion which overlooked falsehood. Cain lied to God. Didn't he know better? Evidently not at that point. He was blinded by his emotions and his passions, and he was worshiping the God of his own imagination. A God that was limited. A God that didn't actually know. And finally, he had a coward's religion. For all of his wrath, how he murdered his brother, we do not know. He may have choked him to death and strangled him. He may have garroted him with a sash. He may have hit him with a club or a rock. We don't know. But he did it in extreme anger. He wasn't thinking. His passions took control. I wonder about the modern sons of Cain with the drums and the guitars that they call the rock band worship. Aren't they guided by their emotions and not by the Word of God? Is there any difference? Is this not the religion of Cain? That's dangerous. Dangerous indeed. And then God told him, you're going to be a vagabond and a wanderer over the earth. The earth is not going to yield to you its fruitfulness. And what was his response? He had just murdered his brother. He committed a capital offense. He said to God, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Completely self-absorbed. Completely motivated by self. Governed by his emotions and not by the truth. This is the religion of Cain. Now, God knows everything without exception. God sees everything. Nothing can be hidden from Him. The blood of righteous Abel cries up from the earth, and it cries for justice. In Hebrews we read, the blood of Jesus, which speaketh better things than that of Abel, because the blood of Jesus speaks peace. I close our message with a question. If God knows all things, if nothing is hidden from Him, then why did He ask Cain, where is Abel thy brother? We know it isn't because God didn't know. What was God seeking to do? He was seeking to arouse Cain's conscience. And Cain was beyond that. What a tragedy. What an unspeakable tragedy. What an eternal tragedy. Abel, his body has long ago dissolved into dust and the natural elements. But he, being dead, yet speaks. And on the morning of the resurrection, he will stand with the redeemed. Cain with those sent into everlasting punishment. What religion do you possess? The religion of Cain? Rites, rituals, ceremonies? Nothing has ever touched your heart or soul. Nothing has ever caused you to repent and turn to Christ for salvation. A religion without faith? Is that your religion, the religion of Cain? Or do you have the religion of Abel, who, although he perished at the hand of his brother, had a testimony that he was righteous, that will stand him in good stead with God, an obedient faith, and he shall be forever with the Lord. Do you consider the state of your soul? We have looked carefully at the religion of Cain. Do you have Cain's religion, or do you have the religion of Abel? The religion of an obedient faith. The command of the gospel is, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. God was extremely gracious to Cain. Can anyone charge God with being unreasonable or not gracious? Why art thou wroth? Why is thy countenance falling? If you do well, you'll be accepted. The sin offering's lying at the door. Go and offer a lamb. Have a blood sacrifice. Offer it up. Be reconciled to me. He refused. That's the danger in religion, of being guided by one's emotions, not by the truth of God. We had a saying in Texas when I lived there and taught in the college. It's not how high you jump, it's how straight you walk when you hit the ground. It's not a one-time religious experience, as emotional as it might be. Have you been brought into obedience to the Word of God by faith? Are you resting in the Lord Jesus Christ for your salvation? Does your life manifest a right relationship to God? Father, bless, we pray, your divine truth. Might we give much thought to the faith of Abel and to the religion of Cain. Glorify yourself in the proclamation of truth. We commit this to you in Jesus' name. Amen.